Kind of just one sided. Everybody to one side. All right, I'm ready. Okay. We're going to talk about a topic tonight that I'm trying to find a jumping off place. When I say a jumping off place, I'm trying to put the whole lesson together in the next couple of classes where you can walk away with some understanding of why we took this course. Why did Apostle want this course in the school? Why I need to know about authority? Why I need to understand obedience and how it's different from submission? And I hope this night class begin. I say begin because I like to continue this throughout the end of the few classes. I hope this class bring in an opening where you can see and understand exactly what we are presenting to you, or what the Holy Ghost is presenting to you, what Apostle is presenting to you in this class here. So we're gonna start talking about some witnesses. I say witnesses. I'm talking about my glasses stuck in my pocket. Isn't that something? Somebody help me. I need something now. Got a knife? In my pants, other pants. Getting it?
Yeah.
Never had before. Gotta hurry. My time is winding down. Cut it. Just don't break my glasses, that's all. That's crazy. Anyway, amen. All right. Excuse us for that little interruption. Now listen at this title here. Testimony of the Kingdom Brought in Through Obedience. Testimony of the Kingdom Brought in Through Obedience. You might want to take good notes because it's going to sound like I'm repeating something, but I'm not. Because that's a fine line between obedience and submission, and we need to know the difference between them so we can function properly. And I'm not trying to make it confusing, because it's not confusing. It's a revelation. It's something that has to be imparted. You know, Paul talked about impartation. Submission is an impartation by the Holy Ghost. Obedience is an impartation. It becomes a conduct. And submission has to become absolute. What's absolute mean? Absolute means the finale, the greatest thing that you're going after. It has to be absolute in your life. And that's what we're going to try to present to you because God wants his kingdom, wants to further his kingdom. Jesus, remember our Father prayer, thy will be done where? On earth or in earth as it is where? In heaven. God wants heaven's will to be done here on earth. And for heaven's will to be done here on earth, there has to be some obedience to his order, or to his plan, to God's vision. God's vision have to be important to the heart of men. I mean, one of the greatest things Jesus ever said was, is in the Matthew gospel, I want to say 16th chapter of Matthew, or 28th chapter of Matthew. He said, go ye into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel to every creature. Now that's heaven's plan. For every born-again, blood-washed Christian upon the earth, preach the gospel. For as many as receive him, remember we said that? To them gave he power to become what? Sons of God. God wants sons to be birthed in the earthly realm, and that's part of God's plan. The church evolves around Jesus' plan. The church is man's function is to establish God's kingdom here upon the earth. Get as many people born again, saved, I'm fixing to say some other thing, trained, just like y'all doing now. Y'all being trained for the kingdom purposes. Not just to say I got a degree at the Evidence Christian Word Training Center. Not just because I'm a part of World Life Christian Center. No, God training us up for a divine purpose. And until we go through all these classes, every class, the class of apostolate, I think that's divine woven, how do you say that, knitting. We're woven together. In all these classes, if you look at them real close, they're all joining together. They're not saying the same thing, but they're all interwoven together. And if you look real hard, they're developing something in you that cannot be taken away from you. That's why we got to pay attention to every class, every word you hear. God is trying to get something to you and put something in you that you're going to need on your assignment. What is my assignment? That's between you and God. But you're not here for fun. I'm sure you could be doing something else. I think God called you here to this school, but you have to go through the spiritual steps to get to the place where when God said, we sung a song Sunday, when he said go to the left, we go to the left. When we go to the right, I don't know how the song go all the way, but I know what I mean. What I'm trying to say is this, that when the Lord, through the Holy Ghost, directs us to go, there's no argument. That's no your own thoughts. The apostle teaching on letting the Holy Ghost make all our plans and decisions for us before we make any plan and decision. See, that's directing us into the God's plan and purpose. Now, God, I've been in these last days speeding things up. Apostles preaching like, I don't want to use the phrase a wild man, but he's preaching, I mean, like he's 28 years old. He's on to something. He sees something God wants done on the earth, and like he's in a hurry to do it. We had two services yesterday. He's trying to get something in us just so we can be spiritual? No, God wants to do something in this earth. And that was a good chance to see how many were obedient yesterday. And it also was a good opportunity for me to see and to understand my lesson. Obedience is relative. I'm going to explain that. And submission is absolute. Now, let me break that down, because I'm trying to introduce my lesson tonight because it's very important. We had a great number of World Life people here yesterday. But do you know, and I'm not trying to throw a damper, but some came out of obedience. I'm going to show you the difference. And some came out of submission. Obedience is an action. Submission is an attitude of the heart. That's a grave difference. Mm-hmm. Obedience looks good. Apostle, I'm here. You could be here and not here. Jesus said, they that have ears to hear. Well, everybody had ears. Let them hear. Well, just because you hear, that don't mean you're listening. That don't mean you're hearkening. That don't mean you're paying attention. That don't mean you're getting a revelation. I'm just here because I want to show up and be look like I'm obedient. I pray everybody was in submission yesterday. I'm just using it for example because I don't know. I want to give everybody the benefit of the doubt. That everybody was here because they wanted to be here, and everybody was here because they know it's the right thing. you know, God trying to get something to us. But I don't know. It's an attitude. How was your attitude? It's a good question, though. Yesterday, you see, was I here because I'm hungry for God and I want more of God, or because the apostle gave us the charge, I want you to be here? He wants to be here because he wants to get it, but he can't make us take it. You ever heard of those statements? You can take a horse to water. Can't make. I tried that. I sure did. We the fool with horses, and man, and I grabbed this horse. I'm gonna prove this thing out. And I jump on his head and pull his neck to the trough of the horse. That horse didn't pay me a mind, and you know he's stronger than me. And I said, this sure is true. I said, nah, I know it for myself. I've heard it said by many of old, but I couldn't make this horse drink. The horse would not. So sometimes people are just like horses. You can take them to the water, but we can't make you listen. We can't make you obedient. We can't put submission in a person's heart. Only the Holy Ghost can do it if you yield unto him. See, and that's what it's lesson about. God wants to yield willingly and freely. I'm reading about David. About David, when they began to bring to build the temple, bring money to build the temple, they said they brought the money willingly. That's the difference, ain't it? It wasn't grudgingly. They willingly brought the money to the temple. They brought so much, David has to know that's too much. Stop. When a church get like that, when the church get to full, and we're going to talk about it, when the church get to full obedience, we can't speak for every church. God can show off World Life Christian Center. No, to make us proud and chest poked? No. God can get glory when a church is functioning according to his divine will. He can get more done in 3 days than some church would do in 30 years because of obedience. If you are willing and obedient, you should do what? Eat the good of the land. God wants the World Life Christian Center to eat the good of the land. And so with that introduction being said, I'm trying to get us to understand, it's not just trying to obey your spiritual leader, obey because of you're going to rebellion, it's like the sin of witchcraft, and you're going to be punished. No, God don't want to punish nobody. We're not trying to make it look destructive. We're not trying to make it look like you got, because if you don't obey, the ground going to cleave, the ground going to, my mom used to tell me all the time. And she's the witness to us. But if y'all don't change, y'all going to go to hell. Boy, I didn't want to go to hell. Who wants to go to hell? You? No, you don't want to go to hell. But that tactic didn't work too good with me. I was afraid when she said that. Because she said, hell is hot. And eternity is too long. But that's fine. But I didn't want to just go because of hell was hot. I didn't want to be scared into salvation. But I always used to tell myself that nobody really witnessed to me like I would like to be witnesses to. I don't know if you understand. You know, like sometimes I run across a person. I say, you born again? See, and then I witness to them, tell them about God's plan of redemption. And 9 times out of 10, if you approach it right and you're led by the Spirit, they'll get born again right on the spot. But this little white lady came up to me. I was already saved. And she told me 3 words. She kept going. She said, God love you. And she kept going. And I thought, and like compassion, I just, a woman came up on me and I said, that's why I wanted to be saved. Because God loved me. So I'm showing you an approach. We're not trying to teach this lesson to let you know that if you don't obey, you're going to be punished. Brimstone and fire are going to come down on you. Your dog is going to die and all this other bad news. No, that's not the purpose. The purpose is you become willingly obedient, willingly submitted, that God can do whatever he needs through you. And then when he do it through you, he's going to do something for you. That's the good of the land. I'm trying to make it plain. So we know that this is not a beat inside the head lesson. obey, and rebellion. I know I got to preach it because there's both sides of it. But the whole plan is that God's will be done upon the earth. How many want God's will to be done? Everybody wants God's will to be done upon the earth. If you're not, you're selfish. You want your will. Jesus said that, not my will, 26th chapter Matthew. He was talking about the cross. Not my will. He said, but thine will be done. So what that tell me? It's not about you, not about you, and not about you, not by any of us in here. It's but God's will being done upon earth, and he'll use us as instruments. That was the call in the Old Testament. And God cried out, who will go for me? And then one man said, here I am, send me. That should be our heart cry to God. Here I am, Lord, send me. That's obedience in action. And that's willingly, you see? Not like Jonah. Jonah ran from the Lord. God had to open his eyes through putting me in the belly of a whale. Something that's a myth. But no, that was a supernatural power of God. Made the belly of a whale a capsule that became like a submarine under the depth of the sea and enclosed Jonah for 3 days until Jonah got a revelation from God. He had to die first so we can understand the will of God. You see it? You see it? How much do God have to permit you to go through before you understand his will? You see it? And that's the part of when God chastened those whom he loved. You know, sometimes God just draw back a little bit and let you go through a little fire because you don't want to obey sometimes. And sometimes God permits you to experience little things that you don't feel good and hope you'll listen. You see? It's like obedient child. Or you got a child that don't want to listen sometimes. And sometimes that child, a form of punishment, takes something from them they love. Now, God not a thief and a robber, but in the earthly realm, we'll do that. No more TV for the next week. A form of taking something away that they love, hoping that they might learn the lesson of obedience. You see? But anyway, let's go on with the lesson. And did I open your eyes a little bit? Because I don't want you in the blind behind this lesson. I don't want you thinking the wrong purpose of this lesson because it could be taught wrong. But I got to put the facts down, you see? But I got to show you what God's intention is, what apostle's intention is, you see, with this lesson, all right? I just want to make it plain and clear, okay? Now, here's the point number one. God does not look at how fervently we present the gospel or how willingly we suffer for him. He looks to see how obedient we are. My goodness. Next statement. God's kingdom begins when there is absolute obedience to God. No voice, no opinion. Underline that word opinion. No voice, no opinion. What does that mean? Sometimes people can be so opinionated. God will tell them something, and sometimes they think they're smarter than God. God will try to give you a word through your man of God. Sometimes God will speak through you through your inner man. And then you won't come up with your own ideas and opinions. Try to fulfill it on your own. You see it? Can't be opinionated. All right? Now when God is concerned, no voicing of opinion, no presenting of reasoning, no murmuring, and no reviling. Now, that's the attitude that God wants us to have when we come to his obedience. We call it absolute obedience. For this glorious day, God waited, talking about this day, for the creature or the creation of the world, although God has his firstborn son, who is the first fruit of obedience, he is waiting for his many sons to be like the firstborn. God really, and his intention really, of Jesus, remember the fifth chapter of Hebrew? The fifth chapter of Hebrew said that with strong tears and crying, Jesus went through some suffering that he might learn obedience. We were talking about the Gethsemane experience Jesus went through. Jesus suffered spiritually. Why did he suffer spiritually? Because the will of God was at stake here. Not so much that he didn't want to obey, not that he wasn't willing to obey with absolute obedience, but he wanted to make sure that it was God's will he was obeying. Sometimes God's will has to be revealed through revelation. God's will is revelatory. What does that mean, revelatory? God's will might not always seem like it makes sense sometimes because we're still stuck with our will. And we want to make God's will look like our will. But sometimes God has to take us through a process so we can understand what his will is. That's a scripture in Ephesians. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Somebody find that scripture in Ephesians 5. It might be the 17th verse. I know the 18th verse talks about that. But it says something else. By knowing what the will of the Lord is. When you find, whoever find it, read it for me. In a hurry. Not like when you were unhooking my eyeglasses out of my pocket. I need it now. It took almost 2 minutes. I lost 2 minutes off the clock almost. Go ahead. Let me start over again. I wasn't listening. That's it. That's it. That what verse it is? 5 and what?
17.
Okay. He said, Apostle Paul said, therefore, be ye not unwise, but what?
Understanding
what the will. If you say that, sometimes, well, that means you cannot. Sometimes you get in a position where you don't understand what the will of the Lord is. And so Jesus was in that predicament, not that he wasn't God, but he submitted himself to God and became as a man, just like we are, so we know how to do it. Because he made a statement, not my will, Lord. I don't want to do this thing the way, that's a great lesson. I want to do it. But I want to do it the way you want to do it. Because God wouldn't have gotten no glory out of it. If you do something the way you want to do it, God ain't getting no glory. It might look good. Men might praise you. But God ain't getting no glory. Because it will not be accomplished. And you got struggling people out there right now, almost on every corner, trying to make something happen, and they're not even in the will of God. Doing their own will, their own thing, and want God to bless it. God couldn't bless Jesus no other way but by going through the cross. But once Jesus found out that was the perfect will of God, he said, okay, boy, stop praying. Let us be going. He faced death without shame. Without fear, knowing that what that description in Hebrews 12, despising the shame. You see, he despised the shame. He wouldn't even let the shame of the cross make him come down. Sometimes people get shame and don't complete what they're supposed to do because they get shame. You ever been ashamed? Huh? Yeah. Now, look what else it says here. For this glorious day it has awaited us since the creation of the world, although God has his has his firstborn son, who is the firstborn of obedience. He's waiting for his many sons to be like the firstborn. He wants to be like him. Wherever there is a church on this earth which truly obeyed God's authority, listen at this, there is the testimony of the kingdom, and there Satan is defeated. Satan has no authority when the church of the living God is functioning in absolute obedience. Satan, no. He will try to stop you, but he can't stop you because you're in the will of God. He can't stop you because you're obeying God, and God got his hand on you. God is covering you with his blood, and no weapon that try to come at you shall prosper. You can't be touched when you're in the will of God. The will of God is the most sacred place you can ever be. Nothing can come against you. Will you be challenged? Yeah, but it can't stick. That's when Satan becomes defeated. You know, when you fully submitted, when you fully submitted, when you fully submit, who? To God? To man? Whoever God delegate, that's what we're talking about. People get God and man mixed up. They'll submit to God, but they don't want to submit to God delegated, to God representative. I don't understand it. Anyone who God appoint become God delegated. And if you come against that delegation of God, you're coming against God, just like you're standing against God himself. Some people think they're all right because they can bypass the man and go straight to God. You're in error. Out of the will of God. God can't bless it. People don't understand it. You know what Watchman Nee said? Wherever you go, find out who's in authority that you might obey. I like that statement. Because sometimes we got special people to obey. I don't care who it is. Just let me know you. Who's in authority here? You see it? I'm talking the church world. The world system got its own setup. And so we're going to get to that place when and where you can obey. And when you can be submissive but not obedient. You can be submissive, but you don't have to be obedient all the time. A wife can be submitted to her husband, but if a husband wants to do something crazy, she don't have to obey that. Honey, I submit to you as a husband, but I ain't doing any craziness that you're talking about here. My God ain't going to let me do that. Amen. And then, you know what? It's not between the wife and the husband then. It's between the husband and God. He got to deal with God. Because he didn't violate a principle that he will not tolerate on this earth, a man that's operating in rebellion against his wife. That's dangerous. People don't know how dangerous that is. You see? But they don't know the whole story. They don't know the whole story. All right? So, God wants to get glory out of us. Now, listen at this now. I'm getting to some of the stuff that I need to talk about. But I'm just going to get the tip of the iceberg. The Mosaic law stated that the ark must be borne by the Levites. Everybody know the Levites, right? They were the spiritual one. The Levites were the one that did the work of the temple and took care of the ark of the covenant. God ordered them to do that. And they was anointed by God to do that. That was their assignment. Here's another point I want to make out. Stay in your land. When you get out of your land, you get out of the will of God. You see it? If you don't understand something, it's best if you just don't say anything. Because you're getting spiritual error like that. And people are getting so much spiritual error, and they don't know why things are not working for them. You see it? And Satan is just laughing because he got you confused. Satan wants people confused. He wants people without understanding. My people are being destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And see, he don't want you to understand how this thing works. So a large percent of the church world is suffering because of ignorance in this area we're talking about now. They have no idea. Churches all over. I can just get a handful of rocks and just throw them every church I'm over and say they don't understand. They don't understand nothing but this authority that we're talking about here. Have no idea of what we're talking about. Because they're doing what they want to do. They don't understand church government. They don't understand how we submit to our apostle. How we submit to delegated authority. They don't understand. and Satan's having field day with them. You know what I know, call a field day? A party. And they don't know why they're going through so much. But thank God, we're not them of that number. I'm not trying to make us more than nobody else, but knowledge puts you in a position all by yourself. Spiritual knowledge. When spiritual knowledge turns to you heard what I'm about to say? When spiritual knowledge turns into revealed knowledge. See, submission is a revelation. It's revelatory. Obedience is revelatory. You have to have a revelation of obedience. And if you don't, you're going to suffer the consequence like the rest of them. You know all those people, you remember when in the 16th chapter of Numbers, when Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, they came against Moses, saying, you take too much upon yourself. And then God told Moses, y'all stand back, you and Aaron. And then the ground began to open up, and the people began to fall in there. Some of them were just there out of ignorance. Some were there, they didn't know why they were there. Some of them joined some of these people. They just were there out of ignorance. So here's my point. If you know people that are rebellious, don't stand too close to them. Don't get too close to them. I made that statement a while back. I don't know if it came through like I wanted. Some people like to affiliate with themselves with rebels. You see, when the ground opened up, you too close to them, you're going on with them. Yeah. I'm telling the whole truth. I'm telling the whole truth. Don't stand too close to rebellious people. Because you might be punished with the evildoers. You see it? And so some were there out of ignorance. Some were there, didn't know why they were there. Because some people, you ever seen a mess? And these people getting in the mess, they don't know what even going on. They just starting with these people here. And they're just ignorant as that could be. But they're going to be destroyed and be punished with the rest of them. See it? How much Satan have deceived the church. You see that? But we're not of that number. We are those whom God has called and anointed and put his spirit on the inside of us and put his wisdom on the inside of us and put a government, an apostolic government over us that watches and protects us. You know, our apostle care about us so much as the apostle and the pastor and the teacher that he even concerned about our health. How can you argue with health? That's stuck in your own will. That's stuck in your will. Some people been eating wrong so long, they don't want to eat right. That was an old song, you know. Amen. Now, why this now? So with the Ark of the Covenant we're talking about, right? But the Philistine sent the ark back to Israel by putting it on the ox cart. You see, that's not what God wanted. They used their own opinion and their own idea of how to get this thing back to where it's supposed to go. He wanted to bring it back to Jerusalem or to the city of David. And so they did not inquire of God. See how easy to get on? They did not inquire of God, so they came up with good ideas. Let's get this ox cart. It can carry it, and we can fix it up where it looks real good, and we're going to take real good care of this ark of the covenant because it's holy, you know. But there were no Levites involved. They tried to do it without the Leviticus tribe. You see it? Remember I said stay in your land? Find out who God called to do certain things and let them do it, and you just do what you can do to assist. How may I assist? You see it? Now, so look what else happened now. Look what else happened. David, in transporting the ark to his city, failed to consult God. Instead, he ordered according to his own thought. My goodness. That it should be brought up by ox cart. The ox cart stumbled, and the ark began to fall. Uzzah. He look what he did. He put his hand on it to steady it so it wouldn't fall off the cart, and instantly he was stricken to death by God. He died. Here's the good part. He died trying to do good. Yeah, you understand that statement? You can perish thinking you're doing good because it seems like it's a good thing to do. A lot of people are doing a lot of good things, but it's not God's thing. It's not what God wanted, but it seemed good to you because your own thought. You don't know how precious that is to what you're hearing now. It seemed good. It seemed right. It seemed holy. He tried to protect it for God. But God, that almost don't make no sense. Lord, this don't make no sense. You kill a man for doing good. No, God didn't kill him. He came against God's ordinance. God's law would have protected Uzziah if he would have been in the will of God. Sometimes it's you out of the will of God. Sometimes that's why things happen, because you're not in God's will of God, and you're not in the will of God because you did not inquire of the will of God. That's important. Apostle said something yesterday. Don't never make a plan without asking the Holy Ghost, without checking with the Holy Ghost. Sometimes our plans seem right. As a proverb, you know, a man is thinking himself to be right in his own mind, but God weighed the spirit. So make sure your plans are God's plan. If you don't know him, see, there's no emergency in the spirit, apostle taught up. If you don't know God's will, don't do it until you find it out. Some people, they want to do a work for God. It's all right to do a work for God. It seems good. But you don't know God's will for it. You might be putting your hand against an ark. And you're not a Levite. I'm making sense. Be careful. Begin to work. Some people tell me, you ought to go start pastoring church. I had people tell me that. I said, no, I ain't what God wants for me. God called me to serve my apostle. But if you let it tickle your ear, it sounds good. It even looks good. People are left out. Want to do their own thing. That's a scripture in Matthew 7. I think we're going to look at that right quick. 7. Ah, boy. 7. I don't know what scripture, what verse. I know it's chapter 7. 7 and 21, that was kind of in my mind. Can somebody find Matthew 7 and 21, tell me what it say? Do it quickly. Not like the way he was unhooking my eyeglasses from my pocket. Because he took 2 minutes. Somebody got it?
Yes, sir.
Read it, let me hear it again.
Not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven.
Now, everyone that says, Lord, Lord. Now, keep reading, but somebody said, they're going to say something else but works.
Okay. Many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, haven't we not prophesied in thy name?
Uh-huh.
And in thy name have we cast out devils.
Uh-huh.
And in thy name done many wonderful works.
Okay, hold it right there. I know you're not through. You prophesied, you cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. Sound like you're in the will of God, ain't you? Just because you do it in the name of God, that don't mean you did it in his will. These 7 sons of Sceva tried to cast out demons in the name of the Paul, the Jesus that Paul preached about. Didn't he use the name? And the devil whipped them. The demons whipped them. They were naked. But they used the name. We've done many wonderful works in our name, Lord. And what Jesus told them after that? Keep reading. Depart. Wow. Whoa, y'all hear that? Jesus said, I never knew you because I didn't tell you to do it. Depart from me. You work of iniquity. If you look up iniquity, you're going to find out some rebellion in that. They got out of the will of God. So a lot of people, listen, let me close now. Mike, look at the clock ticking down. A lot of people, and they just look like they're doing the will of God, casting out devil, prophesying in his name, doing many wonderful works, and then God gonna, at that day of judgment, they're gonna hear this frightening word, depart from me. Not that I don't know, you know. I never knew you. Workers of iniquity. That's why the will of God is so important. That's why obedience is so important. That's why submission is so important. Because you can do a lot of good things and God not in it. Amen. I got zero on my clock. I would have had 2 minutes if you would have hurried up.